This is the world's greatest Springsteen podcast with Fisherman and Tom. I am Fisherman, the bootlegger who pays the highest price. With me, as always, is Tom. How are you doing this morning, Tom?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing very well myself. We are coming to you from a Saturday morning. We're recording this on a Saturday morning, as we are known to do. And I think it is March 9th, and we are less than 2 weeks away from Springsteen at T-Mobile Arena, the great return to Vegas, the town that I live in. Maybe the only show I'm going to see on this leg of the tour. Probably. I'm skipping Phoenix for sure. Going to go see Vegas. And then if all of a sudden he plays like these crazy shows in March, I could still hop over to LA for one or two very inexpensively. And I have some friends there. So let's get to the news. The biggest thing in Springsteen land right now is not so much a surprise. You were confident last week that we'd be getting a new archive, but I think the big surprise is the archive was a doozy. And there's an old saying, it was better in 78, or nothing is as good as 78, or great. It was 78. I don't like saying things that take away from how great it is now. But boy, there was nothing like 78, and that is for damn sure. The third, and I believe final night of the Capitol Theater Passaic, New Jersey run is now released, and it sounds fucking great. Did you get a chance to listen to it, Tom?
Yes, I listened to a lot of it, not all of it, because I just got it yesterday, so there hasn't been a lot of time, but sounds fantastic, you know. And that's, yeah, 78 is considered the best of the tours, you know. So it's hard to dispute.
We all just got it yesterday. Nobody got it before yesterday, and we're all had it for about the same amount of time. I also have not had a chance yet to hear the whole thing. I only heard up to about you know where you got to? I got to Jungle Land.
Huh.
You know how far you got into it?
I don't remember which song now. I think it opens up with Sweet Little 16, or am I wrong? Something like
you that. Are wrong. It's Sweet Little 16 is there. There's a couple of covers that I don't think I know I've heard Sweet Little 16 before, but the opening song is High School Confidential, and I don't think I've ever heard that. I don't know if he's played it many times or a few. I certainly know from that song that I never heard this. There's a Gems bootleg out there. In fact, I heard that maybe part of Independence Day is actually patched with that Gems bootleg. Because they didn't have the tape, like all of a sudden it kind of loses fidelity, but that Gems is still pretty good. But I didn't have it because I had definitely not heard that High School Confidential before. And I did a sneak peek when I first got it to check out the Fever, but then I started it from the beginning. And I made it through Jungleland, and it's got a Meeting Across the River, Jungleland segue, which I just heard was fantastic. It's got the famous 78 racing into Thunder Road segue, but no California trip story intro. He just goes, "You ready to ride down Thunder Road?" And they go right in from the racing in the street outro right into the Thunder Road intro. What else stands out? Spirit in the Night. He does a little Steve Martin. Did you notice that? He's like, "Excuse me." Yeah. Twice he does it. And during the song and then at the end. And it was 1978. I mean, you're talking about when Steve Martin was the king, and that bit was like, you know, that was in 1978. That was the biggest thing on earth. Steve Martin's "Excuse Me." And I don't think I've ever heard him do that before. It wasn't like Cowbell where he did it night after night after night after night. I don't think he'd ever done "Excuse Me" before, but
he did a lot of things like that back then that were relevant at the time, like Taxi Driver lines.
Which it makes me wonder if Steve Martin was there or something like that made him just pull. Wait a minute. Did you say Taxi Driver lines? No, son. You know that De Niro got that from Springsteen and not the other way around, right?
Well, that's possible.
No, that's fact. Like, De Niro's admitted it, and Clarence has talked about it, and it's not in the script. It's not in the script for Taxi Driver. You Talking to Me is what we're talking about. It's not in the script for Taxi Driver. It was an ad lib by De Niro. And the way the story goes is De Niro had just seen Springsteen in whatever year that was, 75, 78. I don't know when Taxi Driver came out, but he had just recently seen Springsteen. In fact, they can narrow it down to what shows he might have been at. And that was back in the day when people were like, Bruce, he would go, "You talking to me? You talking to me?" And De Niro liked it. And he used it, and that famous line, which is now attributed to Robert De Niro, actually comes from Springsteen. That was not, go look at the date Taxi Driver came out and go look back at how far ago Bruce was saying, "You talking to me?" He was not quoting the movie, my friend.
"You talking to me? You talking to me? You talking to me?
Are you talking to me? Am I on my block tonight? Am I home tonight? And are you talking to me?"
Yeah, I think now that you say it, I think you, I just had forgotten which, I knew they were connected somehow. I believe you.
The segue I didn't get to yet is coming up is Incident Rosie. I love Incident Rosie whenever they segue those two back to back. And that's coming up. I'm actually, while we're talking about it, I'm going to bring up the live.brucespringsteen.net site. This is the show. Here is the set list. Go get it. They don't pay me for commercial time. Go pick it up in MP3, FLAC or FLAC HD. High School Confidential. Yours truly has never heard this before. Badlands Spirit Darkness. Awesome. Sweet Little 16, which I'm pretty sure I've heard a couple versions of that. It's smoking. It's awesome. Independence Day with the Gems audio patch. And you'll know now that I've said something, you'll notice it. You'll notice that the quality. And I don't think we didn't really get into detail about it, but I think it might just be Bruce's vocals and a couple of other parts that they needed to patch it in for, that I think they might have had. The piano still sounds like soundboard, and the drums still sound like soundboard. But all of a sudden, Bruce kind of sounds like, I guess that Gems might be actually soundboard, but a two-line soundboard patch, not a multi-channel like multi-track recording like they're using for these Nugs mixes. Promised Land, Prove It. Racing Thunder Road without the big intro. He just says, you ready to ride down Thunder Road? And then I haven't gotten a chance to hear yet. I heard Meeting in the Jungle Land this morning, right before we recorded. Meeting in the Jungle Land, the way it was meant to be. Santa, this is what I haven't heard yet. Santa Fire, I'm excited about that. Candy's Room, Because of the Night, Point Blank. That's a pre River Point Blank there, 1978. Kitty's Back, The Fever, and then to close out the set, Incident Rosie segue. I love that. And then Born to Run, 10th Avenue, Freeze Out, 2:45. Boy, I want to call this show short and go listen to the rest of this show. Just a fantastic set list. And from what I've heard from the first half of the show, an amazing recording, maybe just one of the, every time we hear one, we're like, "Oh, that sounds better than the last." And this one certainly does live up to that.
Yeah. The only thing disappointing is that we don't have any video to match it up with, which, as everyone knows, we have video of like the two previous shows.
And we do. I'm going to show those. I'm going to show those on my channel coming up real soon, because those are great videos, and now they have the same great sound. But no, it doesn't. I don't think we're ever going to see video from night three. For some reason, that just never got out there. And, there's nothing, as far as I know, there's no video at all to be had from night three, but The audio was fantastic. And we're lucky to have those first two nights. And I'm glad they released those audios first so that we were able to watch those for the last 2 years since they started putting those out. So that is the archive release. The other big news is Springsteen announced another U.S. show. It's a festival. It's a homecoming to the promised land of Asbury Park, New Jersey, to the literally the Stone Pony. This is the Stone Pony's outdoor stage. They do a festival every year on the beach, 40,000 people. Pearl Jam's played there. Can't think of who played there last year. Somebody big played there last year. And Bruce has never been a part of it. It's called the Sea, and Sea is spelled like the ocean, C-E-A. Sea Here Now Festival in Asbury Park, New Jersey, September 14 and 15?
Yeah.
And they have announced that, and tickets went on sale and sold out on pre-sale. They kind of warned in the announcement that your best chance for tickets was to get them during the pre-sale. An hour after the pre-sale, anything that was not sold would be available to people who didn't register for the pre-sale, and there was nothing. By the hour was up, there was nothing. So, there was no chance to get tickets for a lot of people that wanted to go see Bruce in Asbury Park and stand in front of Madame Marie's hut and watch Bruce Springsteen play. And the even bigger news for the fishermen is that Trey Anastasio of Phish has his own band called the Trey Anastasio Band, and they are on the bill with Bruce on the same day. Haven't been able to figure out for sure one way or the other if they're on the same stage. There's, I guess, a beach stage and a parking lot stage.
Two stages, one on the North Beach and one in Bradley Park.
The problem that people are telling me is that Trey might be on the stage in Bradley Park, and they're not playing at the same time, but if you wanted to go see both, you'd have to resign yourself to a shitty spot on the beach because you have to make your way over there after Trey is done, and there's going to be not much time because it's going to be like Trey's done, and then Bruce is getting ready to start, and I guess maybe people are thinking that Gaslight Anthem would actually be on the stage at the same time as Trey. And I don't know. I'm not going. I'm going to watch video after. I'm not going to New Jersey. I'm not going to be there. So I guess it's not that devastating that people can't make it from Trey to Bruce. But I was excited about the lineup, and I'm excited at the prospect of more Bruce and Trey playing together, which only happened one time before.
Well, also Gaslight Anthem have played with Bruce, so that's the Bruce connection there with this lineup. Gaslight Anthem is a big, they've sung with Bruce before.
I know, but my name isn't Gaslight Anthem, man.
We got and another big name that's going to be there. I'm a big fan of these guys, the Black Crowes.
They're on the other night. You got to go both nights if you want to see the Black Crowes, right? Aren't they on? They're on Saturday night.
Yeah.
I have the lineup. Let's bring up the lineup.
There's also someone that beat Bruce out of a Grammy, I believe. Norah Jones.
Norah Jones is on the same stage Sunday as Bruce. Well, I don't know about the same stage. Don't quote me on anybody's stage, but they're on the same date. Bruce, Gaslight Anthem, Trey Anastasio, and Norah Jones, and Kool and the Gang, and Action Bronson, and Go-Go Bordello, Larkin Poe, Joy Aluticon, The Aces, and then some much smaller non-headliners are on Sunday. Saturday is Noah Kahan. I guess they're saying that he's tearing up Vermont. He's real popular in Vermont. That's Fish's state, so they kind of got that wrapped up for 40 years. The Black Crowes are opening for Norah Kahan, or they could be on the other stage. I don't know. But this is a completely different. Sierra Farrell. My daughter seems to be a fan of Sierra Farrell. They have the same first name. She pointed out that she wanted to go because Sierra Farrell was there. I was like, if I went, I can't see myself going to both days. My legs would give out long before Bruce hit the stage if I went Saturday and Sunday. So I'm staying home and watching on video with you. You gonna go to Asbury Park?
No.
What if he's playing crazy set list for the next 6 months?
Well, yeah, that's a whole other thing. That could change you and I going to more than one show, you know, and right now you're the only one going at all, but
will it get you to Asbury Park? It's Asbury Park.
Yeah, it would all have to do with what he's playing. But also this type of show, as you know, it will lead him to play more of a greatest hits type set.
I don't know about that. I think he's going to play I think he's going to play the same set he's been playing. But I don't think he's going to be influenced. If he is playing, if he opens up the set list for the rest of this tour, I don't think that we'd find that this festival is going to be like any different. I think it's going to be whatever we see over the next 6 months. If it's still the 2023 set list to a T, that's what they're going to get there. If it's wildly open, that's what they're going to get there. I don't think it's going to cater to, yeah, it's Asbury Park, man. He can play whatever he wants. When he goes to the Stone Pony, he plays shits he never plays. He plays covers and shit.
Don't you think this is going to be a shorter set list?
No, when Bruce plays a festival, he usually gets to play his entire set. Not always. And what you end up seeing from TV from some festival in Europe is usually never the whole show. But he generally, as part of his contract, gets to play his entire set when he headlines a festival. So even if it's a festival where everybody else has to live within a certain guideline, his deal is I get to play my show. So he was playing 3.5 hours at festivals where everybody else was doing 90 minutes or 45 minutes or 30 minutes. If he's the headliner, he gets to play his whole show.
We'll see.
In about 6 months, we will see. All right. What else do we have going on? There was one other thing in the news, right? Before we get to our silliness. Not really. I just wanted to bring up the tour starting in 2 weeks. Less than 2 weeks already. It's 10 days from the day we're recording, and probably about a week from when this finally hits the after I get it up and onto the internet. So by the time people are seeing this, it's going to be about 10 days. But what's the picture I was looking for?
I don't know.
I don't know either. That's not it. I was looking for a specific picture. All right. Well, the tour starts up in 2 weeks. I'm going T-Mobile Arena. That is in, well, the tour starts in 10 days, but this show is in 13 days. I plan on being there. I'm quite excited. We'll talk about it more next week as we get really close. And then the week after that, we'll be recording the morning after the show. Really excited about that. So let's finish The Rising. We got three songs left to talk about on The Rising. Real quick, read the dozen songs that we have already talked about over the last 4 weeks.
Okay. Lonesome Day, Into the Fire, Waiting on a Sunny Day, Nothing Man, Counting on a Miracle, Empty Sky, Worlds Apart, Let's Be Friends, Further On Up the Road, The Fuse, Mary's Place, You're Missing.
So. And for people that are a big fan of this segment, I plan to put together a special episode that is just all 15 songs. We're going to call it Tom Looks at the Rising, 15 songs. I'll put them all together as a special episode. And I was kidding, but it sounds like a good idea. Maybe I will.
We're up to The Rising, which we could spend all day on just the song, because this is a big song. This is one of Bruce's favorites, and it's been played pretty much every night since this came out. to this day. The only tour he hasn't played it on, believe it or not, is the Seeger Sessions tour.
I think that's what hurt it for me, is that it became a Born to Run. It became a Badlands that that has to be played every night. And as good as it is, not sure it deserves to be a Born to Run. His catalog is too prolific to not just reserve the ones you have to play every single night to the super, super hits, which, you know, and with Bruce, there's really not, he sells albums. He was not a hit maker. He doesn't have a great deal of top 10, top 40 hits. But there's certain songs that have just stayed in the set list night after night after night. And I kind of wish The Rising was a little bit more rare.
Yeah. The song itself is, you know, very based very closely to the events of 9/11 and the firefighters climbing the stairs to their deaths. You know, Bruce mentioned this in interviews about, you know, everyone's coming down the stairs trying to escape, and you just see these firefighters walking past these people, you know, walking straight up. And he wrote this song about that. And this was the first single to come out, the first song I ever heard. You know, I remember having just a single disc of just this song and replaying it over and over. And it won the Grammy for Best Rock Song. He won Best Male Vocal Performance. Rolling Stone, not that this matters, but Rolling Stone named it the 35th best song of the decade. Let me see. He played at the MTV Music Awards. That was when James Gandolfini introduced the song, and he opens the show outside at the Planetarium. Opens with The Rising. And let me see. He also performed it at the Grammys. I'm sure there's others. It was just everywhere, you know, when this came out. And he sung it for some presidential candidates. Played it for Obama, played it for John Kerry. If anyone remembers him, I guess he's still around. It's just a great song, and yeah, it's been but anyway, yeah, we'll go to the next one. There's plenty to talk about The Rising. So Paradise, one of my favorites. I think it's one of your favorites. It's I always thought it was about a female suicide bomber in Afghanistan. You know, that's what I was always told, and when I listen to it, that's what I hear. Yeah, and that was in, but it's about maybe a couple that's ending their life and believing they'll go to a better place. And and even though they're killing innocent people, or the narrator is killing innocent people, they believe that they'll be going to a better place. So that's how they justify it. They're going to be rewarded in paradise. And it was actually sung one time during the Rising tour in DC 2003. And then again, and during the Devils and Dust tour, it was a regular. He played it a lot during the on piano. So excellent song. And the last song of the album is "My City of Ruins," which was written in 2001 before 9/11. It was written for Asbury Park, about the revitalization of Asbury Park, and sung it a few times, and it just kind of changed when after September 11th, and he put it on the album, you know, and it fits perfectly. It ends the album perfectly, and he actually sung it on the telethon after 9/11, which I know you've seen. It's called America, a Tribute to Heroes, and Bruce opens the show with this great version of A City of Ruins, and in the background, the singing background vocals is Steve Van Zandt, Patty, and Clarence, and a couple other choir singers, gospel singers. I'm not sure who they were.
They go play it on the beach in Asbury Park.
It's possible. In concert, I'm not sure if he still does this. He may, but he in concert. For the Rising Tour, he would open the show on piano. He would open the song on piano, and then Roy would come in and take over the piano, and that was pretty cool.
Yes, I think that was exclusively the Rising Tour. Since then, that song's had a lot of incarnations. Got a lot of horns in later tours. It became the big thing for Are You Missing Anybody? And who's here and who's missing? So, you know, it's become the carrier of a lot of burdens, that song.
Yeah, it's had some criticism because of that. In my opinion, I don't like when songs drag on too long or they get stretched out and a lot of talking in between. And I've never really liked that. And this is a really great song that's really good. The best, I think, during The Rising, when it's just... I think he speaks a bit before the song, but otherwise it just, you know, is straight. And it's a lot of, I don't know, it just doesn't have what it had before. It doesn't really do it for me, but we'll see if it reverts back to its original form at some point. There are two outtakes that we know of from The Rising. One is not very good, in my opinion. It's Harry's Place. So he ended up putting this on High Hopes. Doesn't really fit on The Rising anyway. And it was actually written in the late 90s. And during that interview at Bruce's house with Ted Koppel that I mentioned, Bruce has got his lyric book. And Ted Koppel points to this page of lyrics and just asks Bruce about it. And it was actually the lyrics from Harry's Place.
That was long before.
Yeah.
So High Hopes, right? It was long before it came out.
Yeah, this was right at when The Rising was released. So it actually turns out that this song, Harry's Place, was supposed to be on the Magic album. Or that he was going to put it on the Magic album. Even though, you know, it was written in the 90s. And he thought this song, he had mentioned that he didn't think it was right for The Rising. The song itself is just about a gangster that you should fear. You know, this gangster that is feared by all. If you haven't heard it, I don't think you're missing much. But the other one, which is excellent, which could have been on The Rising. It's very, the lyrics are very close to just the day, the events of that day. It's Down in the Hole. And, you know, it's about a man digging to get his loved one out of this rubble, you know, so it's very direct. And, there's this one lyric he says, I'm gonna dig right here until I get you back. And just you can really hear the production in here by Brendan O'Brien. It's so good. it starts out. I don't know what it's called, but it's his voice when the song begins sounds kind of muffled or distant, and then a few minutes later it's like clear and then really crisp, and it's just done so well. But really sad song, but really, really excellent. I mean, it would have fit on there perfectly. So yeah, if you haven't heard Down in the Hole, it's really.
And where can they find song. That? Is that also on High Hopes?
Yeah.
All right, let me ask you this. Do you have The Rising on vinyl?
No.
No.
No, at that time I had stopped collecting. You know, I got some vinyl online. I was in a just going online. If I could get it for a good price, I was getting it. And so I've got probably 7-8 albums of Bruce on vinyl. I've got other
that was gonna be my big segue, starting with your vinyl copy of The Rising, but he doesn't have it. We are going to take a look. Tom wants to show off his Springsteen vinyl collection. I got rid of all my vinyl many, many years ago. I don't have anything.
Yeah, I could show you real quick. Just there's really, I won't, we won't talk about any of it. These are not rare albums. These are just, but I put them in order. And, but other than that, I just wanted to show you real quick. I did have a Steven Van Zandt album. It's titled Trail of Broken Treaties. I don't know if I'm getting that in the camera, but that's. And I do have Greetings from Asbury Park somewhere, but I wasn't able to find it. So this
I
is
had
the
that.
Next.
I had that with the flap. Where the
right,
flap
that's what I
was. I had it years ago.
Yeah, that's what I really liked about that. I like the postcard type. And, you know, it's very well done. There's Wild the Innocent. Got Born to Run. This is not that exciting, I'm sorry. Darkness. The River. Still in plastic.
I had a river still in plastic. I had two rivers for a long time. I had an open river and a river still in plastic for some reason. I'm not even going to go into how that happened, but I did. When I finally got rid of my vinyl, I sold most of my Springsteen vinyl. A lot of my vinyl went to the landfill, but most of my Springsteen vinyl got sold on eBay when not maybe vinyl was as popular as now, but it had its resurgence, and my copies were all bought new in good condition, and I got something back for him. If I was able to get something back for him, I did. If not, you know, I left him. I actually gave them to my brother. I think he might have tossed them when he moved to Phoenix. They're heavy. Seven albums is nothing. I had hundreds and hundreds. I'd like to see your vinyl collection. How big is your actual vinyl collection?
It's a big box. It's mostly from my sisters, my older sisters at the time. These were their records, and eventually it just, you know, when they moved out, got married, whatever, it all kind of started reverting back, and eventually I put them in a box and just held on to them. Nobody really wants them, and so I'm just sort of still carrying them around. I think I got just a couple left. This is Nebraska. Born in the USA, and it even says the price at the time. I don't know when this was bought, but $6.50.
Wow, is that open?
It is open. It's in plastic, but a lot of them, I think they're all open, but in plastic, some of them. Includes Dancing in the Dark Plus, I'm on Fire, Cover Me, No Surrender, I'm Going Down. I don't know. Was I'm Going Down a single? I'm sure why they would even list that on there.
Yeah, it was like all singles, wasn't it? Didn't the whole album come out in singles? And then they would put songs on the flip side that weren't even on the album so that they could release more than half. You know, when you put a flip side is from the album, then you can only release half the songs on the album. But when you put some rare thing on the flip side, you can release every single song, and they nearly did it, man. They nearly put out every song on Born in the USA as a single over 2 years, 84 and 85.
Yeah, they could have just gone on and on with the few that they had, and then just continued and continued with videos on MTV. And
I think I'm Going Down might have been a single. We'll find out. Find out during our next George Washington segment if we ever get him back. George, he's been going through some things. He's been too busy to film a segment, but yeah, I think he still watches. Shout out to George Washington. Hope everything's going well.
I just think we've been so accurate on our information. Nothing.
He's had nothing to say, right?
He's got no complaints. Right. Tunnel wheel. It's in plastic.
You know what? They used to tell us that leaving the plastic on was bad for the album, but I think the people behind that were the ones who sold those plastic bags that you would put them in. They tried to say the shrink wrap was bad for the cover, and then it was putting pressure on the album. And we believed all that shit. But I think it was the people who made the bag pocket that everybody kept their records in, that thick plastic bag. I think those the people who made that were behind the bullshit that if you just slice the shrink wrap and you can take the album out and not expose the cover to the elements.
This is just three left in order, of course. This, speaking of heavy albums or taking up space, this is the 5 LP.
Man, that's got some value right there. That one, that could be worth over $100.
I haven't opened this so long.
Be careful with it, man. That if it's got everything in it, the insert and everything, be careful with that. That is worth over $100.
Yeah, it's got a real big book here. Lots of I'll be careful, but there's some pictures. Let me put this back. This could be our retirement.
You know what? Your whole Bruce collection has got value right there. That all looked really good. But that live 75 to 85, that has some real value.
Now we've got the Chimes of Freedom album.
Wow. I had that on that little CD. Remember the little CD?
Yes. I have it too. Probably on cassette too somewhere. I have a big cassette collection. One day we'll go through the cassettes. If we have absolutely nothing else to do. And the last album in plastic is Human Touch.
Human Touch, no Lucky Town.
No. And this includes the hit Pony Boy.
Won't You Be My Pony Boy? That's a cover.
Yeah. Not a very good one.
Not a hit. All right. We've covered nearly everything. There's one more thing on my list that I wanted to talk about.
Oh, I'm sure. I think it's probably something extremely important.
Oh, yeah.
If it's one of my lists.
It is. It is. Tom is bringing another list. We got to name this segment Tom's Lists or something like that. But Tom has brought his list of top five. I think it's top five songs that mention cops in the song. I get a chance to try to predict. What are the, was it five? Did I get that number right? Is it five songs? Please tell me it's not one of your 25 songs.
It is five songs. I picked the very best.
All right. Well, let me try to guess a couple of them. All right. 41 Shots.
Yes.
All right. Is that number one?
It's number one.
Joe Roberts. So that's not the song. Highway Patrolman.
Yes. That's number two. It's like you got the list in front of you.
All right. What about the cop who sneaks up behind Johnny 99?
I don't have Johnny 99 on here, but I do have another. You might have. Maybe you're thinking of, because it's on the same album. It's on Nebraska.
Well, I'm definitely thinking of Johnny 99 because a cop sneaks up on him from behind, and that's how they put slaps the cuffs on Johnny 99. So that's that cop's in my top five.
I always end up leaving off the obvious. I don't know why.
I'm sure there's cops in Nebraska. I know there's a judge. They're gonna snap his forehead back. Is that a cop?
Yeah, but it's not on the list either. Do you want to hear number three?
Oh, well, what about Working on the Highway? Don't the cops come and get him on Working on the Highway and Cadillac Ranch? Aren't there some cops that drag his little baby away or some shit there too?
Those didn't make the list.
Oh, man, you've left off so many Springsteen cops.
I know, and it's actually
how about the cops at Sandy Hook?
Nothing in here about that. We got number three is State Trooper.
State Trooper, of course. Wait a minute. Yeah, State Trooper, okay.
Yeah, see, I wanted to be very direct about these cops. So.
Please don't stop me. That's our theme song.
Yeah, there are other songs, you know, that like you said, that are mentioned or about them, like, but I didn't include those songs. So number four is Lost in the Flood. And the line is, but a cop puts him right away.
Yes, he does. The guy who came blasting right around the corner.
Yeah. The last song, I got a little desperate, as I normally do. But I could have used you, and then I wouldn't have had to include this. But I included My Oklahoma Home.
What about Darlington County?
I know. I don't know what, because when I was doing this list, just
My Oklahoma Home.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a stretch in a list of five. When you had Darlington County's got cops arresting Wayne.
Yeah, this was a complete. And
they didn't see a cop for how many miles? We drove 600 miles without seeing a cop.
Next time I'm gonna email you before I make these lists.
All right, we left off a few. I'm sure there's a cop working Thunder Road, too, somewhere out there with his radar gun.
Not sure.
All right. Tom's list of cops. These lists are the folklore that you're building behind these lists. You're building a fan base of people who love Tom's list. We've had cats, horses, as in horses and gamblers, And now we've had I forgot it already. What was that list?
Ah. This was the cops, yeah.
All right. It was not a very big week in Bruce Springsteen land. Couple big releases, big show on sale. Not much more to talk about. I think we might have time to play a game. You got time for Springsteen Lurtle?
Sure.
Next week we're really gonna look at what we could be seeing in Phoenix and Vegas in those first couple shows. I'll be at that second show. We'll be talking about that tonight on my channel. I'm showing another 2023 because it was just a year ago this week. Milwaukee, great video, and get pumped back up for this tour, which is starting up in just 2 weeks. And we'll close out today's show with a couple rounds of Springsteen Lurtle. All right, Tom, Springsteen Lurtle will play a few rounds. Let's see if you get this one. I think this one's going to be tough. Neon lights on the corner, the rumble of a tired rock and roll band. You're this neighborhood's broken daughter with all the blessings that it grants.
This is tough. I'm not, none of this is really sounding familiar to me.
I had a feeling you might have trouble with this one.
Is it off any album that you know I would not be familiar with, like the Soul covers or the Western Stars album?
I am not positive that it exists. I think it's on one album in the world.
So you know, you have the name of it.
I have the name of it. I'm reading it. I'm reading the lyrics to it. I looked it up. It's not an outtake, no.
Okay. Well, I you got some more lyrics?
Let's see. Yes. Now the night is sweet and low, my dear. though the end's always at hand. My muse, the music you whispered in my ear, reminds me of who I am. Love's a cold beer, you near, and a kiss, your sweet and tender hands. Tonight, I get all the love that I've missed from you in just one glance. And if this isn't love, my dear, it's more than what we planned. It's more than just a chance.
I'm going to have to throw in the towel, I think.
Try one more line here. It's whiskey and it's water and it's one last dance. The opening line often trigger. It's whiskey and it's water and it's one last dance. Stranger, pump that jukebox with your quarters. We all deserve a second chance. Darling, let me tell you your future. Slip your palm into my hands.
I'm starting it. Hang on. Can you give me the album?
Original soundtrack.
Oh, okay. Oh my God, now I know it. Okay, it was just released from that movie.
And nominated for a Golden Globe.
Okay. I can remember the movie now or the name of the song.
I'll give you the first verse again. It's whiskey and it's water and it's one last dance. Stranger, pump that jukebox with your quarters. We all deserve a second chance. Darling, let me tell your future. Slip your palm into my hands. You got me.
Something romance. Looking for romance or addicted to romance.
It is addicted to romance. That is correct. It's addicted to romance. I threw you a hard one.
Yeah.
I knew that would be tough because it is very, very new.
If we had listened to it a little more, maybe. But I don't think either of us played it too many times.
No.
The whiskey.
I kept reading you the lines that rhymed with romance, hoping that you would pick up on it.
The whiskey and water line, I that gave me a hint. I said, oh, I've heard that one.
All right, Tom, maybe you'll have an easier time with this one from one of your favorite albums. Your clothes give away to the current and river stone till every trace of who you ever were is gone. Your clothes give way to the current and river stone till every trace of who you ever were is gone.
Yeah, that's Devils in Dust, I believe. Could be Ghost of Tom Joad, but I think that's Devils in Dust.
It is Devils in Dust.
Okay, let me hang on. Don't give me anything else. Is it I say this every week. Is it Matamoros Pass again?
Yes. Yes, okay. It is. It is Matamoros Pass. You've said it a few times on a hurdle, which is why I threw it to you today. It is Matamoros Banks.
I had to say that from the beginning, but I'm like, am I just going to continue to say Matamoros Banks on every song? Like, does it just sound like every song on the album or what?
This is the hardest one of the night. You ready?
Okay.
We're driving in my car. You turn on the radio.
Fire.
I was only kidding about it being hard.
Yeah, I know.
All right. I'll give you a real one. A real one. Let's see. Well, everybody's dying. This town's closing down. They're all sitting down at the courthouse waiting for him to take the flag down.
Man at the Top.
No, that's interesting you say that.
All right, hang on. That was too quick.
Definitely on the same album. You love ones that are on the same album. Well, everybody's dying. This town's closing down. They're all sitting down at the courthouse waiting for him to take the flag down.
Give me a little more, I guess. I had it.
I see strange flashes in the sky up above.
Frankie.
I found a trigger line. All right. That was the very next line. That was the very next line. All right. Let's see. One more. You'll probably nail this. You'll probably nail this. Let's see. No. No. Never mind. I'll just give it to you. Hearts of Stone. It's just too easy. Every line on that song is like, no, he'll get that. No, he'll get that.
Let's I want partial see. Credit.
All right. You can have partial credit for that one. I threw it away because I knew for a fact that you were going to get it.
Is that
some
the
of these? No, that is not. I'm still talking about Hearts of Stone. All right, here we go. Well, you may think the world's black and white and you're dirty or you're clean, son. You better watch out you don't slip through the spaces in between.
Give me a little more.
Yeah, there's not much more in here that you're not just going to instantly get. Let's see. You'll get that. Let's see. Well, little boys, little girls. Yeah, they know their wrongs from their rights. Can't read more there because the next line has the title. Let's see. Nothing more I can read in this song without giving it away.
Okay, where the nights
get sticky. I'll give you from the beginning again. Okay. Well, you may think the world's black and white and you're dirty or you're clean, son. You better watch out you don't slip through the spaces in between. And then I also gave you, well, little boys, little girls. Yeah, they know their wrongs from their rights. And I'll give you this one, but this could give it away. Where the night gets sticky and the sky get black, grabbed you, baby, and you grabbed me back.
Cross my heart.
I had a feeling that line was going to give it away. I think you did pretty good for a tough list of lurdles there. I'm really surprised how fast you got fired. So that brings us to the end of another World's Greatest Springsteen podcast. For Tom and me, Fisherman, the bootlegger who pays the highest price, the World's Greatest Springsteen podcast loves you.